God has yet to do this. He does this through the angel of his house. That's the man of peace.
Amen. Amen. Give God all the praise and all the glory. Amen. I like that song. My hallelujah belongs to you. You are worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. And in some sense, my spirit wants to say all hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like every praise is to our God. Hallelujah. For you are worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. So we all know we've been sojourning a little bit in kind of just the totality of the scripture. I was blessed yesterday. Just want to mention we had invited in a special guest to minister to the men. From the Friendly Temple ministry staff, our good friend Minister Cotton came, and it was a blessing to all of us who were able to be here.
Yes, it was.
Amen. That's why we call it Iron Men, because the scripture says iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. And so one man sharpens the countenance of his friends. It's just a blessing when you got friends that love the Lord and they come in and speak into your life. Amen.
Yeah.
Word is such a good thing. But we're going to go right ahead. Been enjoying the series that we've been going through. And the Lord is doing a miraculous work here at St. Timothy. Amen.
Yes, amen.
We're hearing it in the praise and the prayer and the worship and the everything we do. Everything we put our hand to, we can see the work of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. So we looked at the sessions of three sessions about snapshots of the cross. Then we talked about cultivating the fruitfulness of your calling. And so today I want to expound just a little bit on that, talk about freedom to walk in victory. Amen. And this is our topic because I want you to understand that God does not want you to, as Paul put it this way, let's just use a biblical phrase. He said that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See? So in other words, Timothy was backing up a little bit because of the pressures of the ministry. And you know, if you talk to folks about the ministry, that there will be pressures. You know that. If you've ever given it a try, you realize that sometimes it doesn't go smoothly. Sometimes there's backlash. There may be criticism. Mm-hmm. There may be unbelief. There could be a lot of things that come against you in a particular setting when you take a stand for the Lord. But we could say that the totality of what he asked us to do is go and teach. So that means that shouldn't be just a Sunday thing. It's not just a Sunday thing. When I'm going through on Monday morning, I'm thinking about what thus saith the Lord and who can I share it with here along my way. Even on a Friday evening, I think about, well, who can I and reinforce with what God said? And so what I want you to see is that the world would tend to want to lock you down and bind you. The devil wants to do whatever he can to stop you from giving your testimony.
Amen.
Some of y'all say, well, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar like some of you preachers and all that. Well, you know what? You don't have to be.
That's right.
I want you to know what you have been equipped already, what God's already given you, you have what you need to represent him.
Yeah.
And it's not our responsibility what people do with it when we put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
See, he just told us to go and teach.
Yes.
And then he says, baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, his assumption is that some people are going to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's his desire that they believe you.
Mm-hmm.
He wants them to believe you.
Yes, he did.
That's right.
You know what? He's not going to do it himself. He's not going to send an angel. He came and did it himself already, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yes.
He did. He came in the flesh and presented the gospel himself.
Yes,
you know? And that's why the Bible says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he was the living word, walking and talking and breathing and doing signs and wonders, miracles, gifts, and all of that to all the people that he went to.
Yes.
And he had called disciples, as we know. And I'm just giving y'all some nutshell here to kind of put this whole thing in for today. He gave his disciples, just think about this, just put this one in your pipe here for just a minute and smoke on it. Not that we advocate smoking, but think about this one here. We want you to understand that God Almighty came out of heaven.
Yes,
he said he was coming, first of all. He promised it. Came in the flesh. Called some everyday old folk. Fishermen. Tax collectors. He was a carpenter. He said, I'm not even getting into a fancy deal myself. Raised as a carpenter. See? And just everyday old people, folks, sometimes people didn't think much of them, like Matthew, tax collector. Put him in the group with the lawyers. And I'm not going to tell you a bad lawyer joke. I think I will. But somebody said, what do you need if you have lawyers and concrete up to here? And the answer is, oh, another yard of concrete. I'm just kidding. Bad joke. But in either case, that's how people think they've gotten a bad rap. But now he picked all kinds of people from every walk of life.
Yes, he does.
People like Zacchaeus.
Yeah.
You know, folks who had little of a value. People thought, oh, these folks are worthless.
Mm-hmm.
But that's who he picked. He picked everyday folks, fishermen. Well, y'all smell like fish every time you come around. Well, we can tell you've been fishing.
Because
your clothes are saturated with it. Y'all don't smell so good. Some of y'all are sheep herders. You've been out there with the animals, folk like David. You know, so it wasn't about all that. It's about common everyday people. Because he loves everyday people. Even when the Messiah was born, he didn't go run up to the temple. It was shepherds who were tending the field who first got the revelation to go and see what the Lord has done. See? So God is looking for you, regular folks, in everyday walks of life. You might say, oh, I'm just a cashier. Well, that's all right. That's a good thing. God put you there. That's a ministry for you. Or I'm just the secretary. You might say whatever you might say. I don't know what you put in that blank. But that's what God was doing, calling everyday, regular, old Joe. And he's saying to you, I can equip you to stand for me wherever I planted you in the world. And so what I want you to know now, the world, on the other hand, doesn't want to hear the message. It's what the world needs. You know, somebody wrote that song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. There hasn't been any better love. Jesus said, no greater love than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Never been loved like that before. You know, greater love hath no man than this, he said. See, so we like to talk about love, but now we're talking about a love that will affect you in the positive. It's going to make you flow in the favor and the winds of the blessing of God. That's going to make you a vehicle through which God can reach down and pick somebody up that might be kind of low. See, and that's what God wants to do. He came and he wants to preach this message to everybody. So he prepares vessels like us, me and you. But the world wants you to think you are limited. And more today in our culture, limitations are being put on what can be said and not be considered as hate speech. Like if we say we have the only message, then oh, you're offending the Jews and you're offending the Muslims and you're offending the Buddhists. And they'll tell you all that because you say you have the only way of salvation. But the truth of it is, we didn't say it. It's what God said. And he is the one who gives you freedom to walk because he's the only one who has shown you the victory. He said, what you mean by that, preacher? Well, you know what? Everybody else is subject to the grave. But when Jesus went through the grave, he came just to show you that even your worst enemy, I have dealt with him. See, I got the solution to the grave. You know, that's the one that brings all other philosophies to an end, is the grave.
Amen.
He said, but I got up out of the grave, showed myself alive, and I waited till I had done that, and I said, go ye therefore and teach.
Amen.
You know, since all power is given to me. What did he mean by that? Well, nobody else has defeated the grave.
Nobody else.
Up until now. Got a lot of folks who were high in education and understanding and knowledge, but they didn't figure out how to defeat the grave. But that's why Resurrection Sunday is such an important Sunday. Just to recall our memory to the fact that our worst problem, he dealt with it. You know what? Not only that, but I have to say he is the only one who dealt with it. You know, no one else has dealt with that grave but Jesus. He went through and told the grave, that's it. I take power over you.
Oh, yes.
He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. It's the only place you can be around here is either in heaven or earth.
That's it.
So I want to talk with you about freedom to walk in the victory that Jesus has given you. Just a few verses. I just did a little sampling here out of the book of Isaiah. I got one verse in chapter 5 and a couple in chapter 11. And then we're going to look at a couple of verses from Peter, who was called the protos of the disciples. In other words, protos, y'all say he's speaking in tongues again. Protos means he's the foremost. He was the chiefest of the apostles, as it said. Didn't mean he was better. It's just that he was the one who had a leadership role. He kind of rose to the top like cream on milk. And he was always there in the presence. He was bold enough to ask questions. And even if it meant sticking my foot in my mouth and saying something stupid, which he did a number of times. But he had the boldness to say, "Hey, Lord, what about this? How does this work?" Everybody else wanted to know, but they just didn't speak up. Somebody said Peter is called the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth because he so many times put his foot in his mouth when he said something. You see, but the fact is he was called the protos, or the foremost. So we're going to read a little of what he said in his second epistle. But read with me in Isaiah 5, verse 13, then we're going to move to chapter 11, verse 9. 5:13, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst." Wow, that's a devastating statement, isn't it? Now look at chapter 11, verse 9. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Wow, how do the waters cover the sea? Entirely. I mean, I freak out every time I go on Google Earth and look at the earth and look how much water. You can spin the globe around where you don't see anything but water. It's like, wow, boy, it's a lot of water out there.
It is.
And I'm scared of all of it. But in either case, let's go to New Testament. Second, actually, this is going to be, you know, when I put 1 Peter, I noticed now I got an error in my typo in my thing. This is actually 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through
10.
Huh?
Isaiah.
No, the Isaiah 10. Okay, Isaiah 10. "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest will be glorious."
Right.
Now that's a prophecy of the Christ, the Messiah.
Yes,
so he's saying that there's coming a time when they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall, to it shall the Gentiles seek. Wow.
Yeah, right.
I thought y'all were Jewish. They are Jewish. "But unto it, the ensign that comes, shall the Gentiles seek." And notice, "and his rest shall be glorious."
Yes.
Christ wants you to have a glorious rest.
Yes.
So I don't know if you tossed and turned all night, but hopefully tonight you'll get a glorious rest.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that a little more.
Yes.
Now let's look at the Peter thing. I was looking at my little error there and it flipped my mind out that I put for 1 Peter 1:3. This is actually 2 Peter 1:3.
Right.
And we're going to read here starting at verse 3. "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which exceedingly great, that through these, having escaped the corruption through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control perseverance, to your perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Now, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord, but I want you to see from Peter, he realizes and teaches us that salvation is a gift.
Yes, it is.
And it's a gift that grows.
Mm-hmm.
It grows, and it has stages that we go through when we receive it.
Yes, it does.
The Bible says, "To as many as received him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name." So actually, it's a growth process. And the problem people have looking at our Old Testament text is that people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge. You realize that? Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So destruction comes because there's a lack of knowledge. It doesn't mean we don't have book sense or smarts of what people would consider something smart. But knowledge of God and His ways, this is what we lack in. And so you can either be in captivity or you can be destroyed, the scripture says, because of a lack of knowledge. And even the honorable men, people who are doing the best they can with human knowledge, are famished. That means starved. See, people hear me use that word famished thing. Oh, I never heard anybody say that except you. I got it from Isaiah. To be famished, that means I want to eat anything I see. I could eat this desk here if I don't get a biscuit here in a minute. And the multitude is dried up with thirst. See that? Okay, now they shall go, move into Isaiah 11. This is a prophecy of when God sends Messiah. And where the world is going. It's going from no knowledge of God to the fact that the knowledge of God will be as the waters cover the sea. Wow. Think about that. People don't know Him at all, but He says the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. Habakkuk says the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, yes, as the waters cover the sea. Same passage. Very similar, I should say. So that's where we're going. And in between, we're just who we are. But when Jesus calls you to be a disciple is a learner. The Greek word mathetes means a learner. You and I are learners. We're learning from God.
Yes. Amen.
Where do we learn from? Well, we learn on our own, but we also learn mostly from the preached word. Right. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why you want to make sure you hear the word preached.
Yes.
What is God trying to teach you? He's trying to teach you that you now, because of what I did for you, not anything you did, nothing the president did, nothing that politics does, nothing that by anybody on the earth, but what I did for you when you trusted in me and believed in my son is I gave you victory.
Yes.
That's what Jesus got up. He declared victory. When he got out the grave, that's the last enemy man had, is death. And death has now been swallowed up in victory. So that's what I won for you, is the victory. You don't have to grieve as those that have no hope. Because the problem of death has been dealt with. And you have been called by me. You wouldn't come. We talked about that in previous lessons. The only reason we come to Jesus is He called us.
That's right. Amen.
We couldn't come to Him on our own. He's calling you now. If you don't know Him, right now He's calling you. He wants you to be His disciple. And He has defeated your worst enemy, which is death. Already. Only one who has ever done that. And so people go from not knowing about God or knowing little about God to the fact when the whole world is going to know about God before it's all done. As the waters cover the sea, there's not a more abundant thing I can think of on the earth. When you look at the globe and consider that the land is the small part and the water is the big part. So it's going to cover the whole globe with the knowledge of the Lord. Now notice this, he says, and there shall be in that day, it's going to, Isaiah prophesies in chapter 11 and verse 10, that there shall be a root of Jesse. Who in the world is Jesse? That's King David's dad, right? When Isaiah wrote this, David had been long gone. But the promise that there will be the son of David, who will be sitting on the throne, was still alive.
Amen.
See, even though David had been gone a long time ago, Isaiah brings up a prophecy that there will be a root of Jesse. Now, the root is where things come from out of the ground. That's the part that's unseen. And he's going to come out of being unseen to being seen. That's what happens when you produce a plant. You put some seeds in the ground, it produces a root. Next thing you know, you see the fruit. Doesn't happen that quick, but the root is the part you don't see. So the Bible says there's something concealed in the root of Jesse, which is the seed of David, that's going to come forth as an ensign. In other words, a big example to all the people. And to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. So that's why now people who are not Jews, the rest of the world, are seeking, being sought by the church to believe Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The Gentiles. It tells you right there that God is seeking to reach the whole world. everybody. Amen. Every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. The first lesson we want to learn, and we probably know it, and I just want to reinforce you with it today, is that he's given you freedom to walk in victory. You should never feel defeated. Just because things don't go your way does not mean you're defeated.
Amen.
You still have the victory, no matter what you're dealing with. It might seem like my circumstances right now have gotten the best of me. And we've all been there. We know what it's like to feel like, oh boy, I can't go on past here. You feel like this is overwhelming. It's over my head. Not going to be able to take it anymore from here. This is more than I can carry. You feel like that. But God has given you the victory.
Yes, he's
given you power over every circumstance.
Power.
If you know he took care of your worst problem first, don't you think he can handle a smaller one?
Yes, he can.
Anything else is not as bad as the grave.
Oh, yeah.
He can handle it.
Yes, he can.
And not only that, but what I want you to know is you can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You can handle it. Paul said, writing to the Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, he wrote that from the prison. I'm in the jail, but that doesn't stop me from who I am. The victory is mine in Christ. This is not going to be the end of me. You know what? I believe God said, well, I'm going to put him somewhere where he'll be protected so he can take that pen and write that letter. And it's going to bless the church for the rest of the time, all through time.
He will.
But on the other hand, you have an evil enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, we talk about three aspects of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what? Y'all know it. Some of you Bible scholars, what do we say? The world,
the flesh,
and the devil.
The devil.
You know what they want to do? They want to put handcuffs on
you.
Lock you down.
Put your back and body.
Lock you up. They want to lock you down.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
This is what the devil wants to do.
Right.
I'm going to get you stuck in sin.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to get you stuck in something that's going to chain you up where you can't get free. The tool of the devil. I want to lock you down. The world wants you to be hung up and being locked down where you can't be fruitful for God. You know? And so the flesh, even your own flesh, sometimes deals and dabbles and stuff bind you or lock you down.
Yes, it will.
Stop you from having freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Even with this on, if you're in Christ, you have the victory.
Yes.
The victory has nothing to do with you being locked down.
Amen.
But I want to talk with you about stuff that tries to bind your life today.
Yes.
And how you must realize that no matter what's going on, no matter how in bondage I feel, that he says, I'm going to break every chain.
Yes,
I'm going to set you free.
Yes,
you've already been set free.
Yes,
into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Yes,
there's nothing that can really bind you anymore.
Yes,
the victory is yours.
Yes.
So you have the freedom to walk in.
Yes.
But the devil wants to detain you, get your mind off the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do, we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to be prepared for when the devil comes against you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You have to know that. And so this is what I want to talk with you about just a minute. I just wanted to get your mind set ready for what's coming up here. There's things that the Lord has promised you. He's always delivering on his promise. You don't ever have to worry about it. And as Peter tells us, looking here in 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given, notice that, to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now, what does that mean? That means his son, who was perfectly holy, without a spot, without a blemish, suffered a grisly death, died on the tree, shed his blood. He was spoken evil of, ridiculed, mocked, spit on, everything. Just name it. Scourged, stabbed, spit on, gambled for his clothes, made a disgrace, a public spectacle. And his own people were the ones right there shouting, crucify him. And then the Gentiles who had authority over them were the ones who executed him. And you know what? Pilate, he knew this is not right here because I don't find any fault in him. I don't see anything wrong with him. You know what? He said, well, here, I tell you what, let me bring a snake up here that I know they all know this dude here ain't no good. So he brought in Barabbas and had Jesus scourged. He whipped him like to a pup, we might as well say. Brought him out there with a fake robe on, dripping with blood, stood him next to Barabbas, the known crook, the known criminal, and said, well, who shall I let go, Jesus or Barabbas? They thought they'll have to have mercy on him now because he's standing up here whipped and bleeding and flogged, bleeding from hundreds of places. And Barabbas is standing up there knowing, boy, I'm toast compared to this guy. I heard about his record. And the people said, give us Barabbas. Crucify him. Wow, Pilate was trying to get off the hot seat. But they demanded that he give them Barabbas. So what about, and I wanted you to see that in comparison to what Peter says. His divine power has given to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. All things that pertain to life and godliness, how do we get it? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. The name of Christ is the most glorious, most virtuous name that there is.
That's right. Amen.
Because he had done nothing wrong. There was no deceit in his mouth.
Nothing.
Everything he did was right. It was what God said he would do. And he willfully executed what God had said. Mm-hmm. By which, he says, in other words, moving on to verse 4, 2 Peter 1:4, have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. If God promised you something, it's exceedingly great and precious.
Yes.
You haven't even considered the depth of the promises of God. You know, he says, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So he promises you abundant life. I give you victory and power over the enemy, Jesus said. You can tread up on scorpions and snakes because I've given you power. See that? And his promises apply to us right now, that through these promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. So in other words, I've given you the Holy Spirit. He's in you. If you believe in me, all you have to do is believe in me.
That's all.
You believe in me, I fill you with my spirit. So the divine nature has been planted in you. The issue is it's got to get past my flesh.
Yeah.
It's got to get past my philosophy.
Yeah.
It's got to get past my way of living and thinking.
That's it.
In order for me to do what God wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you have those enemies trying to lock you down.
Yeah.
The flesh say, well, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cigarettes have more power than you or than Jesus. You need to say that's a lie.
Yes, amen.
That's a lie. Even whatever, simple stuff. Eating, we might overeat a lot. I'm guilty myself. But it's not going to lock me down.
Yeah, that's right.
You know why? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Yeah.
You may have other negative appetites. They're trying to lock you down.
Yeah.
But you got to remember the Spirit of God is given to me.
Yeah.
I have authority and I have power.
Yeah.
And the victory is mine.
Yeah.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yeah.
So you got to be in the battle. That's why Paul said, take unto you the whole armor of God. That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil's trying to trick you.
Yes.
The flesh may even want to side with you. And the world certainly he doesn't want to see you prosper.
Right.
But you have freedom to walk in the victory that Jesus has given you. Now notice what it says here. You're going to receive the divine nature having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust is a desire to do what you want to do and not do what God wants you to do. It's something that I just want to indulge myself in this thing other than what God wants me to do. Lust has a lot of characteristics. Paul says that it's like, he used the term covetous. He said, I could look at the law God had written, you shall not lie, you shall not steal, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. I was doing good. He said, going down the list till it got to be where it says, you shall not covet.
Uh-huh.
He said, when I saw you shall not covet, it slew me. And I died. Because I can't say I didn't want to do any of those things. I didn't have any desire to do any of those things. Because I did.
Right.
So if you're being honest with yourself, you know, you thought about, well, you make me so mad I could slap the daylights out. Or you had a, and Jesus said, if you hate your brother, what? You're a murderer.
Yeah,
that's where murder starts.
Mm-hmm.
It's with hatred in your heart.
Yeah.
See? And if you let that thing work itself out, it can be a problem.
Uh-huh.
That's why sometimes people say in the passion of the moment, he did this, that, or the other. Now you've killed. You let your lust override your common sense.
Yeah.
See? Or sexual stuff is like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have some sexual desire, and instead of you doing right, you go on with the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It felt good, so I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And we make excuses why we do stuff to violate God.
Mercy.
And the problem has to do with lust.
Mm-hmm.
That's epithumia, the Greek word. Epi is a modifying word. Thumos means drive or lust.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have a strong passion sometimes to do something wrong. Like, oh, I can't stop until I eat all of this strawberry shortcake. Or I don't only need one slice if that. But I'm going to keep eating because it tastes good. Or whatever it is. And we allow ourselves to go on in the things we know that are not really good for us. So we have to watch that. But he said you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We could talk about other stuff. Pride. Oh, I want to have what they have. Keep up with the Joneses. Oh, they got a new car. I need to get a new car. Or a better car. I want to show him I'll come back next week in a Ferrari. Even though I won't be able to pay the note when the note comes around. I'm going to have some trouble. Maybe I'll get a rental Ferrari. But we're always looking to outdo somebody. You see what I'm saying? So we have to watch all the forms of lust. And God has given you power and control and victory over all those things. But also for this very reason, Peter said, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Now notice this chain of stuff. Be virtuous. Virtuous means it's known to be good, it's pure, it's clean. And to your virtue, knowledge. Keep on learning.
Mm-hmm.
To your knowledge, self-control. See that?
Yeah.
We get more knowledge, now we can think about it. We are challenged to control ourselves and not just let it cut loose and let it go. To self-control, perseverance. In other words, I'm going to keep on not satisfying my lusts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to get on the bandwagon doing right and keep doing it. That's what perseverance is. See, and the devil keep wanting to tell you, come on back, back up a notch, get away from there, and the flesh too. So, but he's saying there's a chain of events to your perseverance, godliness. You're going to be more like Christ. It's a walk. That's why I said that you learn to walk. See, because it's a walk. You got to go every day and continue to be diligent to the Lord. To your godliness, brotherly kindness.
Yes.
Now, you know, and it really freaked me out to look at the order he put those in. You had to get past all the lust before you could ever get to godliness. And the harder one is brotherly kindness.
Yeah.
Wow, it's harder for me to extend that grace to somebody else than it is for me to attain it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
See? So it's more difficult for me to now come out of myself and be more concerned about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be anywhere along the continuum.
My.
But you have been given the victory to walk. In freedom, you've been given the freedom to walk in victory. You can say it both ways. And so look at the succession, though. He says, until your brotherly kindness, love. Ultimately, love is the hardest thing, but it's the thing God has done for you and made it. It's the best thing.
Amen.
See, it answers everything.
Yes.
What we see on the cross is, it says, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. See that? And so ultimately that love is where we're heading. Now notice what Peter says, and we conclude, for if these things are yours and abound, in other words, you started on this process, you're somewhere on that road walking, you will neither be barren, that means having no fruit, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. So it's sticking with Jesus.
Yeah.
And he is the one that gives you victory and the freedom to walk in that victory. So what I want you to understand is throughout redemptive history, there has always been the reality that people who opt to walk in what God said, in other words, I believe what God says and I'm going to do it, enjoy more of the actual feelings of freedom than other groups of people who choose to disobey God and place upon them the chains of bondage. That's what happens. If you say, I'm not going to do what God said, you're putting on the handcuffs.
Right.
You're going to lock yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
And has the illusion of freedom.
Yep,
that's right.
See? Yep. Oh, I'm going to be more free when I get all this money. And so we overwork and do more work than we should be doing. And we get out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out we're in chains. We've entrapped ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We put the handcuffs on.
Yeah.
See? And God says, be moderate, in moderation with everything you do. See? Because you know what? The only things you get to keep are the things you give away. Did you know that?
That's right. Amen.
All the stuff you stack up when you go in the box, mm-hmm. it's still going to be here.
Right.
And it won't credit you at all.
Mm-mm.
See, it doesn't make any difference if you have all kinds of millions of bank accounts and all that. That's all good if you're using that all in a godly way.
All right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with having it. But think about recycling it, using it for the kingdom of God, so that while you're doing that, you're laying up treasures in heaven. That's why Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. And so that's very important. So we keep getting back in the chains. The contrast between God's professing people who stumble around even using mere human knowledge, that's what Isaiah is talking about, rather than supernatural knowledge of God, is evident in the difference between Isaiah 11, 9 through 10 passage, which is telling us the course that all things are heading for as we approach a state of global knowledge of God, when the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea, when all the world will come to know the knowledge of God. See, that's where we're heading. It may not look like it. It might look like we're going in another direction. But every time you hear about some foolishness, oh, we're going to bomb Syria, and Syria bombed so-and-so, and also I'm going to bomb them. That's what people do. For power. We have a lust for power.
Yeah.
I have to have more power than the rest of the country.
Yeah.
See, my bombs are bigger than yours. See, and that's the way we go around in the world.
Mama.
You know, when God has Israel over there, a little speck like this in the middle of this many people who hate them. Mm-hmm. And they've been building up armaments for years and years, ever since they came back in the land. They have enough stuff to completely desecrate that whole area.
Mm-hmm.
But God has promised, I'm going to preserve them.
Mm-hmm.
So you and I need to be thinking, where are we in time?
Yeah.
God has given you insight into what's going on, mm-hmm. so you can be aware.
Yeah.
Of where things are headed. Don't be scared these things are heading that way.
No.
Don't let it scare you. Because God already told you it will certainly come to pass. But the earth is heading toward the knowledge of God. It looks like man is heading the opposite way, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We want God to be any old kind of thing. But we don't want there to be any God.
Yeah.
You wishing him away won't get him away. You coming up with some other kind of a system, or evolution. You want to give chance and all of that away. You know, but has no proof. And the reason it has no proof is because it never happened.
That's right. Amen.
So it's an awesome thing. But the Apostle Peter, by way of the Holy Spirit, has given us a succession of character traits that come with the salvation provided through our faith in Christ Jesus, in which we are to walk and to grow as we enter into discipleship and continue through the balance of our time on earth, which are also to be shared with others until the time of our departure. That's what he said. And I wrote this down so that after my decease, you will have memory of these things.
Yes.
The interesting thing is we're still here 2,000 years later, still talking about what Peter wrote down, and it's still right. It's right. And so this is what I want you to know. Avoid the chains of the world, but take up the cross of Christ.
Yes, yes.
Amen. We hope you choose him.
Amen.
The same thing that was said by Joshua. It looked like the world all around them was turning to idolatry.
Right.
And so Joshua had been handed the mantle from Moses. And he was told he had to be reinforced by God. Be of good cheer. Meditate in this law day and night. Be of good courage, he kept telling Joshua. Joshua going, well, wait a minute now, Lord, these folk over here, they way whacked. Just to put it in a modern language. These folk are really whacked over here. You know, we thought those was pretty bad back there. I hope y'all understand some of this technology here. I mean, this language. Because this might be kind of modern. In other words, they're way out of sync with God.
Yes.
You see? But he told everybody there, he said, you choose this day whether you're going to serve the gods in your land or those across the river, the gods of the Amorites. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
That's right.
So you have to make a conscious decision. I am going to serve the Lord. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand just a minute as we wrap up our thoughts here.
God wants you to know you have victory.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to shudder one bit. When trouble comes, you ought to already be girded up.
Follow. That's right.
You know it's coming.
Yes.
It's going to come. It may not stay all the time. But the thing we need to know is you have victory. You have power over it.
Yes.
Victory.
I've given you power over it.
Yes.
And the word says that tribulation works patience.
Yes.
God is trying to teach me and you patience. We don't have patience a lot of times. We want everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
See? And God said, no, you're not going to get it right now. You're going to need to learn to wait.
That's right.
Wait on it. It's coming. Now, you know what? He's waiting on us to change for some things. Some stuff you can go pursue it right now, and he'll give it to you today. So it's not everything that you're waiting on.
Yes.
But there may be something that you have to wait for.
Yes.
See? But either way, whether it's coming and flowing every day richly, or if you got to wait on it, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So no matter what stage in life you are, you can continue to move forward in the Lord. I want to say a prayer here for anyone here who may not be saved, first of all. And if you're not saved, let's just pray with me. Lord God, we have heard the gospel, the good news you gave your son. That he died on the cross, was buried in the grave, and 3 days and three nights later he got up and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. He said, whoever believes in him and believes that you raised him from the dead shall be saved. So save our souls, Father. We're tired of the way things have been going. We want to walk with you by faith and not by sight. We know you have more power than any enemy that we have. And Father, we thank you that you've given us the victory to walk in that power, and you have given us the freedom that we need to walk in your power. So save our soul right now.
Please, right now,
we need you right now, Lord God. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And the church said together,
amen.
Amen. And if you're here today and you're looking for a church home, this is our specialty. Amen. We want to be a big part of the Great Commission going out to teach all the nations. We would love to disciple you. So if you're here today, we want to invite you to come as a Christian with experience or a candidate for baptism. Either one. If you have not been baptized, we know we have a scheduled Brother Tate. We've got to get him on the roster here because he wants to be baptized, he had mentioned. So if there's any others here who have not been baptized or would like to be a member that are already saved, we invite you to come at this time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You won't be able to tell the Lord. They didn't ask me. They didn't invite me. But we have certainly invited you, and we want you to come.
Yes,
in fact, we compel you to come right now.
Yes, we do.
While the blood is running warm through your veins.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. So I do hope you got a good word from the message today.
Amen.
Amen.